All righty, we're in 2026. Holy cow, that's a lot of years, right? We're past the Back to the Future thing. Of course, I was thinking the other day how old I am, that we were hitting the Jetsons years. Anybody know the Jetsons? Good, there's enough old people in here that know the Jetsons. We're not quite there. That was like 2063, I think, is the time frame. But I guess by the time we get to 2063, we will have flying cars and things like that. We already have robots. We already have video conferencing. It's crazy. So today, here's what we're going to do today. It's going to be a short brief with me. Today, I just felt like the Holy Spirit, we need to take a pause and do the work before the work. I'll get into that in a minute. As we kick off a new series next week, but also just kind of like, I don't have notes today, not that I haven't prepared and me and the Lord haven't done work. I just didn't want, really wanted to be a little more raw and unfiltered and unedited. Well, it'd be scary, right? Unedited me. So I'm praying, Lord, don't say anything stupid. But just this idea of, you know, 2025, I don't know what happened to you personally, but it was a year of the re, you know, that little prefix on a word that to do over, right? But new, do over, but different. A lot of re in our church, new leadership, new name, new location, a lot of kind of redoing some things, a lot of transition. Some of that is, well, all of that is really good, but some of that is tough on folks, change, things like that. But God is still faithful. God is still moving. God is still growing. God is still doing what he's always done. And quite frankly, God is like, hey, I'm going to do my thing. You can decide to jump on board or not. So it's not like we have to rediscover what God is doing. He is working church, Big C Church, all believers, past, present, future, worldwide, are his plan A to the world. And it's just about who wants to jump on board and follow after him and consecrate, make themselves wholly connected to him. And so that is his plan. It's always been his plan. And today what I want to just kind of set a tone for is doing the work before the work. And we talk about being cornerstone value people, where we want to do what Jesus did, say what he said, be who he was, hear what he heard, model him. And when we look at what he did and how he ministered, you know, specifically his 40 days. If you've been in church long enough, you know about the 40 days of being tempted out in the desert, which is interesting, if depending on which version you look at. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have that account. Mark just has a real quick blur, but Matthew and Luke, but they talk about he was led out into the wilderness. He was drove, according to Mark, and Luke, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of interesting. There's this, when you say yes to Jesus and you are born again, you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you're being led, the comfort of the teacher. And I'm just imagining Jesus, these three, you know, being led, being drove. I mean, only the Holy Spirit could kick the Son in the rear end, but one God, three people, I'm not going there today. And full of. And so when I look at Jesus' example of the 40 days before his ministry kicked off, when you look at Jesus throughout the New Testament of whenever he would launch out to things, it always said that he would go off to get with his Father, right? Noise, clutter, and hurry. You feel that a little bit? Noise, it's a lot of. If you've been on the news this week at all, the world is loud. Clutter. How much clutter? Not just in your closet, but in your spiritual closet, in your life. Hurry. How hurried are you? I have vision, and we've had vision, and we see what God's going to do in this church. But today we need to settle down, and we need to do the work before the work. Let me make a little caveat, because we will use that word work. We can filter through many things. I want to make sure you understand this. The work before the work is not about you work to do anything good to be saved. If you want to go to heaven, let's use that term, people kind of understand that, or be saved, that church term, to be born again, Jesus calls it that. You're born again spiritually. You're not doomed to hell anymore. You're going to be with God forever in heaven. You don't work. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing righteous, no good works. There's nothing in you that is good that God goes, you know what, that's a really good person. We'll put you on the team. See, the work before the work is not about you working into salvation, you're not going to do enough good things. There's not a, that scale, that judicial scale of doing good things is broke in God's kingdom. The only good work that can save you is the work that Jesus did on the cross. And your faith and your trust in him and him alone. There's no other name among men under heaven that you can be saved, Acts 4:12. It is that you believe, you receive, and you become a new creation. And so the striving to work for righteousness, Scripture says that none are righteous, none are right, none are perfect, none. In Romans 3:10, none are righteous, no, not a single one. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. So the sin that we're all born with is death. That is the penalty of that. And we do not have a checkbook and an account big enough and cannot pay that debt. Yes, it is bleak. Yes, it is incomprehensible. But God, Ephesians tells us, but God in his grace, Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace, you're saved through faith, not of your works, because it goes on to say, because so we don't boast. Because if we could save ourselves, oh, shoot, with all the technology now, we'd bottle that up and sell that thing. We'd be on TV. Hey, I got heaven for you. Some folks still try to sell that mess. The snake oil salesman, right? Hey, just, you know, order this hanky right here, this oil, and pour it on yourself, and you're good. Nope, Jesus has the only salvation. So it's not of our works, it's by grace. So I want to make sure I'm clear where we stand. By grace, you're saved. God gave you a gift that you don't deserve. That's what grace means. Unmerited favor is the academic term we'll say sometimes. You didn't do anything to earn it. But you must believe, you must receive that free gift and become born again. If you have any more questions about that, man, I would love to talk with you. If you've never believed, received, and become born again. You don't know where you stand in eternity. Man, I would love to have that conversation. Pastor Cope, we'd love to have a conversation. Scully, we'd love to have the conversation. There's so many here that love to have that conversation with you, so please make sure you connect with us. But the work before the work. If you said yes to Jesus, you've believed, received, and you've become born again, that hurry, that worry, that clutter, that noise that consumes us in our life. See, each of you were given a design. We know in Scripture that God took time to plan and to build and to design you. It's really cool, Colby. Colby and I, we meet and talk all the time, but we don't really, like, compare notes too much on the sermons. And I'd already been stirring in this and kind of what I felt like God wanted to do to launch out this new year, and I felt like I needed to draw a spiritual line in the sand. Not like an intimidation, you know, bully-type line of threatening, hey, cross this, I'm going to kick you in the teeth, right? No. A spiritual line in the sand that we must cross, and Colby preached on Seek First last week. And God was already speaking to me. That's what Jesus did. He drew the line in the sand, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. There's the line right there. And we like quoting those things. We like putting them on a T-shirt. We like putting them on a coffee cup. Yes, seek first the kingdom of God, and my bank account will be plus, and my health will be good. Maybe. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. I'm not going to re-preach his sermon, but we have to seek him first, in the noise, in the clutter, in the hurry. We have got to do that work before the work. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us out. Lead us out into the places of difficulty. Lead us out into the places of focus. Lead us out into the places of that says, hey, in some terms, it's put up or shut up. We can talk a lot about a lot of things, and we can put on a good front and a good face on Sunday mornings. We really can. And that's not to slam anybody. Let's say, hey, Jesus says, seek me first. Let's take these masks off. This journey that he has prescribed and designed you for, we get distracted with the clutter, the hurry, and the noise. We don't have good margin and space in our lives, and so we come and we're hurried. Even Sunday mornings, it's so hurried, it's so frantic. We got to do this thing, we got to do this church thing, and then we get nothing out of it. People, you hear people say, well, I just didn't get fed today. The worship wasn't this, I didn't get anything. What did you do the work before the work? If you want to engage in worship, if you want to meet God, He is everywhere at all times. You've got to do the work before the work. What does that mean? You've got to take that time. In our busy schedules, you're going to have to take and put it on your calendar, meet God. I know you're like, man, that sounds really, you know, stuffy. Well, if you, it's like tithing. If you decide to tithe, like when you feel like you got a little extra, you'll never tithe. And He's called us to be obedient with our resources. Same thing with your time. If you're like, well, you know what? Tuesday this month, I think I'll have some time. I can really have a good devotional time, and I'll really meet with the Lord on Tuesday of the third week of the month. Clutter, hurry, and noise is going to get in the way, and you'll never meet with God. And so we're on this hamster wheel that we can never stop because the work before the work is not being done. And Jesus has modeled, anytime He branched out to go do ministry, it said He went off by Himself and got with the Father all night long sometimes. It's that lifestyle of, well, I'll put it in even sports terms, and I don't want to make it trivial like that, but, you know, I've coached for a long time, played ball a long time ago, and been around that environment, all four of my kids, and what you see on TV of champions and the playoffs and all that stuff, you see any success of a sports team, trust me, it didn't happen. Football season starts August 1st, technically. It did not happen when they walked onto the practice field August 1st. Or any sport or whatever. Just go with whatever sport. Football's right now. Basketball is leading into it. Those champions, those successful moments on the court of the field, with you see those teams that you're watching, your favorite teams, any success they have did not happen when they rolled up out of bed on Monday morning and go, well, let's figure it out this week and be successful this week. No, that happened months before. We know that. We watch the videos. We watch the inspirational videos. We're like, oh, yeah, you know, do it. Like, you know, come on, dream big, think. No, we like to be inspired, but do we live it out? It's the New Testament results that we want, but not living the New Testament lifestyle. So for us, church, unedited, raw, today, God's burned in me in this, myself included. What He wants to do in our church in 2026, the growth we want to see, the changed lives we want to see, get to a permanent space. We're not sitting up and tearing down. Just name the dreams that you have about our church. It's not going to happen, and the roots aren't going to dig deep, and we're not going to be healthy if we're not willing to do the work before the work. So we model Jesus. We model what He does. We go to those silent places. We go to those dark places. We go to those places that nobody's looking and nobody's cheering. Those places that are difficult at 5:30 in the morning or whenever you're going to have your time. Because I can promise you, a good day in my definition starts at 10 a.m. Amen? If I could go to 10 a.m. to 2 a.m., that'd be a great day. I don't like the whole, I get up at 6 most days, but some days I get up at 5:30, 5:15. I'm like, and it's when it's dark outside, like, y'all, like, no, Dracula, no, like, I can't do it. So I get it. It's a struggle. But anything we want to see produce fruit in our lives, we've got to take that time. And it's not about just white-knuckling discipline. Because some of us in the room, we're really disciplined. It's like, okay, preacher gave me a, like, I can get up. I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. I'm going to have an hour. I'm going to read the Bible for an hour. I'm going to put some at 4 a.m. And at 5 a.m., it's like, look at me. I was good Christian Joe today, right? Sorry if your name's Joe. I just came out. I don't know what, it's no notes today, right? So don't take offense to that, Joe. And some of us are really good at that. We're really good at the principles and the practices and the disciplines and following all the rules. We're really good. And some of us are like, right now you're going, where are you going with this today? Because I don't know if I want to jump on this ship. Because I'm like, what? It's not about the practices and the principles and the white knuckle kind of getting through it stuff. And it's not about the fear. Because what is scaring you today about the journey God's called you on? What gets in your way outside of the noise, clutter, and hurry, the lack of margin in our lives, the journey we are on individually, we're being formed in the image of the likeness of Christ for the sake of others, but He has designed us to do some incredible things. And we know Scripture says the enemy is killing, stealing, and destroy. He's looking for those to devour. He is speaking so many false accusations against you, against your king, against who God is. It was the first lie, the con of like, we already have, and he conned us out of what we already had. So my heart and desire for this church is I want to invite you into 40 days of just doing the work before the work. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, who was tore up from the floor, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, I'm not the Apostle Paul and I'm not Jesus, but I have no problem saying this. Follow me as I follow Jesus. If I'm not following Jesus, don't listen to anything I have to say. If I'm not following Jesus or anybody that's on this stage or anybody that's on the TV, YouTube, whatever you watch, if they are not truly, I'm not talking about talking about Jesus. I'm talking about following Jesus. Many of us are following false prophets. I know that stings, but remember, there's no notes today, so this is raw and edited. If you're a guest, please come back. I want more, concise and linear. And all the noise, even theologically, is confusing, confounding, and causing us to get distracted. And our car needs a major alignment. And so I'm inviting you to follow me as I follow Jesus. What does that look like? Well, starting tomorrow, we are going to provide some, starting today, we're going to start it, but you can start tomorrow on the devotional. We'll provide some resources. Maybe you have a robust devotional life. You're in word. You're in worship. You're in prayer. You're doing great. Amen. Keep after it. Don't stop. Maybe you're struggling in that area. Maybe you're a little embarrassed to even admit, how much I really read the Bible. I know John 3:16. That's about it. It's okay. There's not condemnation right now. This is about growth together. This is about a safe place together. I don't want anybody to walk in this door and feel like you have to put on a certain face to survive here. No. Matter of fact, we want you to take off that mask because we know you have it on already and just stop faking the funk, as we used to say. And let's come together. Let's dig deep roots. Let's be a healthy family. Let's be a consecrated, surrendered family. And so one thing we're going to do is we're going to link up with a free 40-day devotion. The slide will be on the screen. You can click the QR code. It'll be in our newsletter, on our social media sites. It is free. It will email you every morning for the next 40 days. It will take you maybe 30 minutes max, depending on how much you engage with it. It's broken up into some word, scripture to reflect on and read. It has an embedded YouTube video each week in there for worship time. And then it ends with some questions and prayer and reflection. So we're inviting you to do that work with us for 40 days. We're also going to make space starting this Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. We're working on an evening time, but right now, 6 a.m. We have a call-in number. Simple, easy. You call the number, put your phone on mute if you haven't remembered, free conference call. We don't want to hear you eating McDonald's at 6 a.m. or yelling at the kids, got it, man! I'm going to pray! True story. You've heard those things, those conference call lines. At 6 a.m. every Wednesday morning, we're going to jump on this phone number, free to you, and we're going to pray. You say, I don't know how to pray. I don't want to pray in public. That's okay. Don't. Just get on the call and hit mute and listen. Pray and agree with us. We'll facilitate the call, but you don't have to say anything. Don't, right now, don't let fear start to already give you excuses, because I know what happens. Right now, when a lot of churches set out on the stuff, people are like, oh, my goodness, they wanted me to participate. Yes. Yes. If you want what Jesus has for you, it is a participatory deal. Jesus did the work. Now we participate in the work he's already done. It's already done. We just walk in that. So the 40 days of devotion, free, emails you every morning. Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m., jump on the call. We'll let you know if we add a evening time, which we're already looking into talking about doing that. And then on February 22nd, that is the first Sunday after this 40 days, we're just going to celebrate. We're going to have a time of testimony because we want to hear what God has done in your life through this time. We just want to hear what God is doing. So we're on the 22nd of February. We're going to make space that Sunday, no preaching, just testimony and worship. And celebrating yes and amen. But for the next 40 days, we're going to do the work before the work. I'm also going to invite you in this. Here's something I'm going to personally do. 40 days devotion, inbox, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the same one on top of what I'm already doing. Every Wednesday morning, be there at 6 a.m. I'm also going to fast once a week. Let me explain fasting if you've never done fasting. It is traditionally from food. I am going to fast from food. And I need it, right? We can see that. I'm working on that. The holidays, whew, I've got the Christmas 12 right now. I did good in August, but November and December, I did not. But I'm going to fast once a week myself for the next several weeks through this 40 days. I want to invite you into that. It's going to be no participatory tracking, just fast. But fast, especially in our day and time, isn't necessarily the food. I'm going to encourage you in this because I'm going to do something. Matter of fact, who knows iPhones pretty well? Anybody know iPhones up here? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody knows iPhones. Nobody? Okay. Yeah. No, there's people that know iPhones in here. Okay, I'll do it myself. It's fine. I am going to fast from social media. Now, I don't get on there a ton, but I have caught myself in the past several months of, I'll be doing something, and I'm ADD. Like, the people that know me are like, yeah, we know that. Okay, squirrel. So, I have my phone, I'm reading, I'm in deep in thought. I'll just pick up the phone, and I'll just click on something, and I'll catch myself just watching golf videos. My son will tell you, I forward the golf videos to him all the time. Athletic stuff, just watching football highlights. Little dumb stuff here and there. My wife sends the dumb cat videos. Like, really? Okay. I'm personally going to fast. Matter of fact, I'm doing it right now. This is not to just be, I just want to do it right now. I'm removing the app. Delete the app completely. There goes Facebook. All right, here goes Twitter. I want to remove an app. Delete the app. Delete it from the entire phone. So those two are right there gone. I just did that for accountability, quite frankly. You saw me do it. Well, you couldn't see it, but I did it. You can look at my phone. I have nothing to hide. That's what I'm doing. I'm getting off of Facebook, and I'm getting off of Twitter. I don't have Instagram. Don't have the TikToks. Never believe in the TikToks. Be careful of that one. But I'm going to encourage you to search what is consuming you. What is distracting you? What do you need to fast from? Maybe you need to fast from some relationships and influence. Maybe you need to fast from just some of the hurry. And one of my biggest regrets, and we're not going to live in regrets, right? It's all covered by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus. One of my regrets is the hurried lifestyle I've lived for a long time. I'm a hurried guy. I want to get it done. I want to go get after it. I was hurried, especially with my kids when they were younger, with their sports. Just hurry, 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 go, go, go. Let's get better, better, better. And that's the American false dream, the bigger, better, just sucks you in. And so my encouragement is 40 days. Put that back up there. Jump in. Simple, it's easy, but it's going to take your time, 30 minutes at least. It's going to take your devotion to be willing to say, I'm going to do this. But here's the thing. It's a challenge to followers of Christ. To those who say, I know Jesus, you're using the Christian name and tag. Is it cultural Christianity over Christ in your life? Does what Jesus did on the cross, is what he paid for us, the beating he took, the death he died, like, is that a fairy tale to you? Here's what I know. My king had the skin ripped off his back. My king allowed himself to march down a street and be humiliated. My king allowed himself to be stripped bare of his clothes and impaled with spikes up on wood in front of his mother and his friends. The least I can do is inconvenience myself for 40 days for 1 6 a.m. to fast and not eat and get off of social media. The least I can do is that. And that is not to make you feel guilty or manipulate the situation. I am not trying. If you feel manipulated and you feel guilty right now, that is the enemy. And Satan, we resist you. This is not about false accusations of you're not enough. This is not about jumping through hoops to win God's favor. He already loves you right where you sit. If you fail in this 40 days, he still loves you. Jesus already died. So there's not manipulation and accusation going on at all right now. And I know people are like, man, Chad, you're so just intense all the time. Well, part of that is personality. Blame my parents. Some of that is I don't have any time to waste, y'all. I've been wasted enough time. I'm 51 years old. I wasted a lot of years. And what I just described wakes me up every day, and it says, hey, I don't want your life to get distracted. I want you to come face to face with the life-changing transformation glory of the God of the universe. I want you to stand in awe of the grace of the God of the universe. I want you to feel the emotion. I want you to stare into the face of a king who bore his body and his blood for us. I want you to know that. I want you to have the joy and the freedom of walking in the newness of life that says, hey, what my past is, I've done all this dirt. It's under the blood of the cross. I want you to walk in that newness. I want you to walk in the revelation of what he has for you. Many of you sit right here today and you don't believe you can be used for anything. You have self-negative talk. You don't trust and believe that the God of the universe designed and planned something great for you to be used. Whether you're quiet or loud, it does not matter. Matter of fact, sometimes the loudest ones are the most annoying, so we need the quiet ones. And so I invite you on this journey. Next week, we will kick off a new series on Spirit and Truth. If you've read the story of the woman at the well, as we say in church, the woman at the well, Jesus' encounter with this Samaritan woman at the well, and they got talking about worship, and he said this vague, opaque thing, like, hey, there's a time that true worshipers will worship in Spirit and Truth. We're going to dive into that. What does it look like to really worship in Spirit and Truth? But today, we're going to do the work before the work. So 40 days, sign up for the devotional. Come to your inbox. Jump on the call at 6 a.m. every Wednesday if you can. We'll work on an evening time for those that maybe 6 a.m. is not as good. I want to encourage you to fast once a week. Find a time to fast. Not just from food. I want to encourage you to find the places and the spaces and the things that are distracting you, just like I jumped off of social media right then in front of you. I did it not to be showy, but for accountability. Like I did it, just accountability. I feel like I can't lead as pastor if I'm not willing to do the things I'm asking you to do. What a charlatan I'd be. And I've got to stand before King Jesus myself, and there's no way I want to have your blood on my hands. So I want to stand bold, and it's not easy. This journey I'm asking you to walk on is hard for me too, because there's so many things. If it was up to me, they would not look like this. If he said, hey, write your own script, that's some edits I would make. Feel me on that? But you know what? His edits are so much better. It's like we intuitively know that and say that in church, but yet walking out in the trust of, yeah, that plan you had really, wow, okay, all right, I do see it. I mean, that was tough, though. Hey, 2025 was tough for me, y'all. 2025 was hard on me for this church. It was rough coming in here and helping walk through change. Full disclosure, it's tough watching people walk out the back door, gone. It's tough watching your friends emotional about that, just annoyed, angry, confused. It's tough walking through people's stuff. But I remember my King and what he did, and I remember my King stretched out on that cross, paying the price for you and paying the price for me. And I've already seen he's going to do some amazing, incredible things in this church body. But they will be thin and they will be a mile wide and an inch deep if we're not willing to do the work before the work. We need each other. We are a discipleship-making movement. We are unashamed. And we will not compromise on calling people to surrender their lives, to go out. The DNA of our church movement is to go, is to plant. Doesn't mean you have to leave your vocation and become a pastor. I kicked and screamed into this one. I didn't want to do this. But to go, to be a light into those cubicles in those office complex, to go be a light into the ball fields where your kids are playing sports, to go be a light into the Chamber of Commerce meetings, go be a light into those places at the mall. Go. Our DNA is not to build a mega church, and we're sure not going to go build other campuses and put my face on a screen. No. We want to build people. We want to make disciples and wash, rinse, repeat, and we want to tell everybody we see about Jesus. Sometimes that's going to be verbally, and most of the time it's going to be living it in front of them and loving them in spite of themselves, not manipulation, not intimidation, not with the morality police, blue light on our head. I got you. Yeah, lifestyle stuff will come in the conversation, but it's about King Jesus and what he did, and do you want that? Or do you want to continue to walk in lost, confused, noisy, hurried, compared life? Or do you want the freedom of the cross? Because in Christ, there is freedom. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a few minutes. One, we're going to take about 90 seconds to 2 minutes and just listen. Just listen for God for you. Whether you have a note card, we have some on the table out there if you want to grab one, or you can write notes on your device. We're just going to listen for God. You're going to listen to him. Write it down. God, what do you want me to know? Ask him, what do you want me to know? I want you to know. Maybe you're going, well, that's odd. God, does God speak? Absolutely, he does. Audibly? Well, I mean, he could. It's a rare occurrence, but he could. But he speaks. One, he speaks through his written word. So that's one reason why we want to get in the word. You begin to recognize his voice through what he's already written and what he's already said. So if you have a bad taco, you're like, wow, that was weird. It wasn't God. Just a bad taco. So we're going to listen to God for you. And then here's where I get to make all the extroverts all queasy, is after that, we're going to break up into groups of about 4, maybe 5. Just pray together. And then we're going to come back and we're going to have some incredible time of just worship. One, wasn't the worship anointed today? Like, the freedom in that. And the words, just, they were so... so apropos, perfect of what we're going into. And so, whatever posture you need, just ask God, what do you want me to know? Ask him to reveal to you where you need to release, confess. And we're going to pray together. We're going to walk together. There's no dirt that's too dirty. Trust me, I know a lot of stories and hear my own story. There's nothing you can say that will surprise any of us. We're not about clean and neat Christianity. Too many people are about like, well, it's got to be all, you know, pressed and cleaned. No, Jesus did that. So stop trying to hide your dirty laundry under the bed. Let's get freedom out of that stuff. So let's take a couple minutes and just listen what God has for you. Father, what do you want us to know? Holy Spirit, consume this time. Consume our hearts, our minds. Father, give us the strength to lay it all down lay our lives down. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here in our lives, on this earth, as it is in your kingdom. Take the next few minutes and just find 3, 4, 5 folks. Just pray together. Maybe you're like, well, right now I've got the sweats and it's very uncomfortable for me to think about getting together with people I don't know. It's okay. Trust me. We really are a safe place. But I know there's some people right now that just to have somebody pray with you and over you. What is getting in the way of your life? What is burdening you? Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. If today was it for you, I want to ask that question. If today was it for you, what's your future after this time look like? What do you believe about life after death? Is it just poof, we're gone? Wow, what a fun way to live. Are you sitting there sweating and hoping, just hoping you figure it out, hoping you do enough good? I'm telling you right now, I've got the hope for you. His name is Jesus. And if you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, believed, as the Bible says in Romans 10:9, believe that Jesus is King, He's Lord, the Master, and that God raised Him from the dead, that He's not in some tomb in Jerusalem anymore, that He is ascended, He's coming back one day. He's the God of the universe. If you believe that, receive that today and become born again, and we will walk with you. We will help you walk through this life called being a Christian, getting in the Word of God, understanding what His Word means and says, and walking with you in prayer and freedom of stuff. All I know is you're here today, and you can do one of two things. You can resist what the Holy Spirit has put you in, and you can walk out of here the same and unchanged and deal with the mess and the junk or whatever it is you have in your life. You have that choice. Or you can surrender. You can let yourself be uncomfortable for just a little bit, and you can allow yourself to walk through a moment of uncomfortableness. I don't know if that's a word. We're going to walk into it and walk out into freedom forever. I can't even put the adjectives together of the freedom of surrendering our lives and our comfort and our mind, will, and emotions to God and say, God, take my life. But we're fearful of that because it's the unknown. What does that look like? We can walk with you in that. All right, so make sure prayer team leaders spread out, but find 3 to 5 people just to pray with. You share whatever you want to, but somebody will pray with you. You guys just, let's just offer our surrender to God. Let's find a group. You're still praying, that's fine. I'm going to invite the worship team up, and I want to ask Father, Holy Father, that you would anoint our worship and bring blessings to you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name, burdens will be broken, lives will be surrendered to you, freedom. Proclaim freedom today for souls, Father. God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I do pray that we never, ever get over that. Father, we bring our lives to you, Father. We lay it down before you, Father, and that we want to be a church of surrender, of sacrifice, a church about you and about telling others about the freedom in Jesus. So Holy Spirit, go before us. Father, we bring our worship to you.